after the meeting tonight. So to remind you, if you have your name down on the Holiday Bible Club list, then just wait behind after the meeting for to hear what you need to do or what way you're taking part. Now we're turning to God's Word again, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. And we're going to read from verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 19 and going down into Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 is the beginning of our scripture reading. Book of Proverbs chapter 19 and reading from verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honour for a man to cause or cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plough by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doing, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The hearing ear and the seeing eye the Lord hath made, even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Amen. We know the Lord will again add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, as we come to thy word just now, we pray for help and blessing in it. We'd ask thee, our God, that thou wouldst comfort and bless us. Our God, that thou wouldst meet us here at the point of our need. And Lord, that we might have understanding even from thy precious word. Bless us now, we'd ask of thee, for in Jesus' precious name, I would ask these things. Amen. The book of Proverbs has a great deal to say about advice and wisdom and counseling. Right from the very outset in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, we're told, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Again in Proverbs 11:14, the importance of wise advice is underlined, where it says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, the problem with counseling in modern times and in many sound churches is that counselling itself has got a bad name. In many places, particularly in America, counselling is all the rage. There's hardly a Hollywood star or a person of prominence that has not a personal counsellor, a personal psychiatrist or psychologist that they will run to. And modern psychiatry is founded upon very wonderful explanations of the loss of men and women. They don't call it sin anymore. Instead, it is a sickness. And we think of all the stories that we have heard of people today in trauma, and maybe they are told that they are suffering from some kind of illness in the mind rather than some sin that they have in the heart. And maybe we think of the wild and wonderful theories that people have. Somebody's perhaps suffering from post-traumatic potty training or some other illness that they've come up with lately. And they've all sorts of labels that they put upon immoral and sinful behaviour. But you know, today we see that the Bible speaks about true counsel, about wise counsel. There are many horror stories about modern counselling that we have. I remember reading about a girl who was the daughter of a well-known pastor in America, a godly man. And she had certain problems, and she felt that she'd go along to the psychologist in order to get her problems dealt with. And this man put her into a hypnotic state. And in the hypnotic state, she suggested that she had been the victim of her father in some kind of an attack. And she said that she was sexually abused as a child. Now, she came out, she knew nothing, she knew nothing about this in her normal state. She had made no allegations about it. She indeed had no memory of this in her normal state. But in this hypnotic state that she had been put into, she suggested that she'd been sexually abused. And she went home and she made accusations against her father. Now you can imagine how that played out in the family and what an awful ordeal it was. Eventually the father was found out to be innocent. But in the meantime, what a lot of turmoil there was in that family, and how it broke that family, and how much turmoil and sadness there was in that family over that false allegation. It was that she'd picked up some suggestion from the counsellor, the psychiatrist himself, who was looking for this kind of a solution to the problem. So there are all sorts of horror stories about modern counselling. But you know, in the Bible, we find that God advises people to seek advice, to seek counsel, and particularly from those who have a knowledge of the Word of God. Because we have an infallible Word today. We have the Bible that is God's precious Word. And if we can find advice from those that are godly and those that have a knowledge of God's precious Word, it will bless us. Paul had this to say to the Romans in Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. He says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." And there should be that sense of community, that sense of family, in which we are able to admonish one another. Enable to proclaim the word of God, enable to speak a word of advice to those around us. And so today, just for a few minutes, I want to look at what the Bible has to say, the book of Proverbs in particular, has to say about true godly advice, true godly wisdom, true godly counsel. Now, first of all, I want us to think about the mistaken kinds of counsel. You'll notice what he says here in verse 28 of chapter 19, or verse 27, he says, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." And he says here, there's a wrong instruction. There is a worldly wisdom. We think of in Proverbs 4 and verse 24, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." And by a froward mouth, he speaks of that which is perverse. Now, perversity is that which is consistently wrong or consistently on Scripture. That is perversity. Now, we have a psychological industry today, and we have a counselling industry that is persistently wrong and persistently immoral. It is based. Now, I am not going to give you an in-depth rundown of psychiatry today or psychology, because I'm not qualified for one thing, and it wouldn't be edifying for another. But I want to warn you against this false counselling and psychiatry of today. Many people are running for these things. Indeed, when there's a problem, there very often we have these counsellors who come in, or these people who purport to have some kind of knowledge. And we need to have beware of many of them. Much of today's psychology is based upon the theories of two men, Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung. Now, both were irreligious. Both were anti-religious. Sigmund Freud called religion the obsessional neurosis of humanity. In other words, he thought it was some kind of mental illness. Carl Jung said that all religions are collective mythologies. And there are many people who would say of Sigmund Freud, that being a Jew, that he had in his background a hatred against Christianity because of the history that there had been in certain forms of Christendom of anti-Semitism, and that was coming out. But he used scientific language in order to disguise his hostility to religion. But hostile to religion he was. And he came up with all these explanations. Instead of going to the book of God, instead of going to God's word, where we have an explanation of what is wrong with man, it is sin. We have in the Bible an explanation of man's inconsistencies, of man's sicknesses, of man's faults. It is found in sin, because before there was sin, there was no sickness. Before there was sin, there was no inconsistency. There were no faults. But he tried to explain it. He said, well, maybe it's because of some trauma in your life, or because of something that happened in your life, or because of some repressed drive in your life or feeling in your life. That is the explanation of the faults and the way that you behave and the habits that you have. And he tried to get some explanation that was other than sin. Now, the problem is that there are those in the church who have embraced this and taken this in. And there are those that are Christian counsellors and would call themselves Christian counsellors who have tried to marry this ungodly philosophy with the Bible. And they come up with all sorts of things. But they're trying to fit in the so-called science with the Bible. But it isn't science. It's all theory. In fact, there was one psychiatrist by the name of E. Fuller Torrey, and he admitted this, and I quote, "The techniques used by Western psychiatrists are, with few exceptions, on exactly the same scientific plane as the techniques used by witch doctors." You see, it's all theory. You can't explain your mind. It is impossible. In fact, the human mind, to try and understand the human mind, is at a disadvantage from the start. But you know, the Bible says that there's deceit in the heart of man. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God knows the heart. And God in his word has given us a revelation of what man is. We think of people like James Dobson. You go and you hear many of the message of the charismatics today. You go into the average bookstore and you have so much of this false psychiatry and psychology. How to succeed at being yourself. Finding the confidence to fulfill your destiny. That's a recent book that's been put out. The Healing Path. How the hurt in your past can lead you to a more abundant life. That's another book that's in the bookstores. The Art of Learning to Love Yourself. Dr. James Dobson, he's on the radio very often. He speaks about self-esteem. That the problem with many people is that they don't have self-esteem. Well, that's completely anti-biblical. That is the marrying of the false psychology of today with, and he puts in the text in order to try and justify what he is saying.
God isn't teaching us to love ourselves. God is teaching us to love Him. John Piper has said, and his comment upon this is, thou shalt love thyself has become the first and greatest commandment. And you go to many churches today and they're telling people how they can live so that they can increase their wealth and how they can live so that they can increase their well-being and so on. And God certainly wants us to live a life of peace and He certainly wants well-being for us, but that's not the first and foremost. The very heart of what we preach and the very heart of the gospel message is that which leads us to glorify God. That which brings us into communion with our God, to rest in Him. So there's a mistaken view of counselling, and I'm only doing it in broad brush strokes today, but I want us to realise that there is an aspect of this that we need to be aware of. It's coming into the churches. People like Joel Osteen are great preachers of this kind of gospel, of loving yourself and self-esteem. Jack Shuler of the Crystal Cathedral in California, the great guru of this kind of preaching. But it's coming into so many of our churches, and we need to beware of this kind of thing. But then I want us to go from the mistaken view of counselling to the meaning of biblical counselling. Because in the book of Proverbs, we have a number of words that are used and are translated counsel that will help us to understand what real, true biblical counselling is. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now, the Hebrew word there that is translated counsel and counselor is the word which indicates communicating secret purpose or getting together, bringing yourself close together. There's the thought of confidentiality in the word, but there is the thought of communicating together of your wants and your needs. The thought of getting close to someone and sharing your needs and to be able to get advice. That's the thought of that word. Then there's another word in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, a wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Now the word there that Solomon uses has the root which means to bind or to pledge. And originally the word was used of ropes that were used to pull or to steer a ship. And the thought in that word is to pull someone into line, to get them steering in the right direction. Then there's another word in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 20. It says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. And the word there has the thought of sharing wise information. Now let's pull it all together. Let's get all these words and let's pull it together. What is true biblical counsel? Well, it is sharing wisdom. It is the sense of pulling someone into the right way, of steering them in the right direction. It has the sense of confidentiality. It has the sense of loving concern for someone. That is true biblical counsel. Now, immediately you'll be able to see perhaps some of the difference between the world's type of counsel and biblical counsel. The world's type of counsel consists of listening. It consists of listening to the desires of people, of listening to them bringing out their faults, and making no judgments. The world's counsel makes no judgments. But with biblical counsel, you certainly listen. You've got to listen to what the people are saying. You've got to weigh up what they're saying. But you have the wise advice of the Bible, and you apply the wise advice of the Bible. You apply the wisdom. There's no point in sitting there knowing what the Bible says, knowing the wisdom of the Word of God, and then not passing on the advice that there is in the Scriptures. The New Testament equivalent of the word counsel is the word nuthet, when it is the word which means to admonish. We're to admonish one another. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 3 verses 14 and 15. It says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Paul, writing to the Galatians, in Galatians 6 and verse 1, said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And that's important, we'll come to that. Now, people have to receive admonishment. They have to be humble enough to take the advice that they ask for, to take the advice that they seek. Now, we should seek advice from one another, and we should be humble enough to take the advice that we seek. And I wonder today, that is something that's lost in the church today. We live our lives as a little cocoon. We live our lives in a little bubble. We live in a very selfish age. And we don't take the opportunity of asking advice, particularly from those that are have the hoary head, as the Bible says, those that are experienced, those that have lived life. We need to ask advice and find advice. Because in the multitude of counselors, the Bible says, there is safety. So we notice the meaning of true biblical counsel. It is admonishing one another. Those that ask advice, we are to admonish them and to help them along the path of life. But something else, I want you to see the marks of a true counsellor, because the Bible has much to say about the marks and the character of those that can do counsel, because not everybody can enter into this. Now, it might be a disaster for some people to try and go in there. You have people who feel that they have a fund of wisdom, and they go in and they launch in and they give advice around them, and maybe they do more harm than good. What are the marks of a true counsellor? Well, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, gives us the indication that the first character or mark of a true counsellor is purity of life. It says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Now, if you're dishing out advice and your own life is not what it should be, it'll mark you out as a hypocrite. And people will resent the advice that you give. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." There's no point in trying to admonish someone when you need advice yourself. That only puts people's backs up. That only causes resentment. But where there is a life that has a testimony, and where the light of God shines out, that is an attraction to people. Those people are the people to whom we will go and ask advice. Those are the type of people that we want to hear. There's a weight to their arguments. There's a weight to the advice, because they are people who are godly, who know the scriptures, who know right from wrong, who are immersed in the word of God, and we will value their opinion. It's not just everybody that can go in there and give advice. There needs to be that purity of life. The second thing that must be true of those that give advice is confidentiality. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 11 and look at verse 13. It says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Also in Proverbs 25 verse 9, "Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another." One of the most basic needs in counseling is to be able to keep your mouth shut, to keep your mouth closed. You might be dealing with some of the most shameful things, the most shocking things, the most scandalous things. But if you're going to be a counsellor, you have to keep your mouth shut. You have to learn to let those things be forever buried in your own mind and not pass them on to another. The third mark is discernment and tact. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 and look at verse 28. He says, "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer." He just doesn't give the answer immediately. He studieth to answer. He doesn't just blurt something out at the first. He will keep his mouth shut. He will consider the matter. Proverbs 18, verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. And what that means is that sometimes the first appearance is not the full appearance. You've always heard that there's always another side to the story. And when you go and investigate, you find that there is another side to the story. And if you have been counseling people or trying to sort out problems for any length of time, you'll know that very often what is first told to you is not the full thing. It might be the truth, but it mightn't be the full truth. It mightn't be the full story. There might be something below the surface. There might be something else that is coming to bear upon the situation, and it needs a little bit of investigation. It needs a little bit of pouring over, and it needs some tact in order to find out what is going on. So we're to be slow to answer, and we need to be tactful in our answers. You just don't blurt out what comes into your mind. There is a right time and a right place in which to do it. You just don't go in with full guns blazing. You just have to have tact. Proverbs 26 verse 23 says, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. And he's saying there that first impressions are not always the truth. And we need to be aware of that. So, there is to be discernment and there is to be tact. Hold fire at times. Just look into the thing. Don't just jump to conclusions about what somebody has told you, but look into the matter. Then there's another mark of wise counsel, and that is honesty. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 24 and look at verses 23 to 26. It says, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be the light, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. So he says, don't be flattering people. Don't be trying to rub them up the right way, but just tell them the truth. Tell them it tactfully. Tell them at the right time. Just don't blurt it out. But there are times when we need to confront people. And people wouldn't like that. And it takes a little bit of courage to tell the truth. But you know, so often when people reflect on what is said, they are glad when you tell them the truth. Tell them what is right. There needs to be honest. There's no point in giving wrong counsel, a wrong admonition. But then there's another characteristic, and that is something that we need above all in our counselling, and that is love and concern. You see, there's always a danger in preaching a message like this and saying that counsel is something we should seek and counsel is something we should give, that we give license to people who are busybodies and poke their noses into other people's affairs and go at the wrong time and try and red somebody up that they think that is doing the wrong thing and meddle in other people's affairs. Well, the Bible condemns meddling in other people's affairs. There is nothing worse than a gossip. We need love and concern. Unless we're doing this counselling, unless we're giving this advice out of love and concern for people, we might as well not bother, and we shouldn't bother. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9 says this, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You think of David, and he took the advice of Jonathan. It was sweet to him. Why? Because Jonathan counseled him out of love and concern. Now, people will know whether it's done out of love and concern. The advice of a close friend is something we value. But if somebody random comes along that doesn't bother with us, we're likely to reject the counsel. We take the counsel of those that have a love and those that have a concern. So the first thing that we need before we enter into this counselling is to have a love and concern for one another. That family feeling. That binding together that we have one with another. That unity that there should be in the house of God. A love and concern. So we notice the marks of true biblical counselling. But look at the motivation for true biblical counselling. Why do we do it? Well, the Bible tells us because it brings help and comfort and healing. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse 18. And you'll see that first of all, it brings health, it brings blessing. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. This is true biblical counsel. It says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. This, it says that in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, that the tongue of the wise is health. Verse 25 says, heaviness is in the heart of a man, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You know, we live in a life in which there are many bumps and falls. There are many sad times, many difficult times. But you can think of the insight maybe of someone to give you wise counsel. Or the older people can think of godly people in the day gone by who were able to give them godly advice in their young days. And how valuable it was, how many bumps and scrapes it saved them from. It makes the heart glad. It gives joy. Not only will it do that, but it gives us direction. Maybe you're seeking for God's will for something. Well, look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22. It says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So it tells us to go to many people and ask for advice. Now, of course, it should be to godly people that we go, but go to many people. Now, one may get it wrong. One person may get it wrong at times. Even the most godly can get it wrong, or they can give the wrong advice. But it says, in the multitude of counselors, the thing is established. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18 says, every purpose is established by counsel. Proverbs 11 and 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So the more viewpoints you have, particularly from God's people, particularly from those who know and love the scriptures, the more you'll be established. We forget to ask for counsel. We forget the great resource that we have in the elders of the congregation. And I'm not just particularly the elders, the session, but the elderly people of the congregation. They have a wisdom. They have a long life. And they are a resource that we can draw from. So it directs us. Not only will counsel benefit us and bless us and direct us, but it will give us insight into the ways of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. It says, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Now that speaks of wisdom that makes us wise unto salvation. Wise in the latter, the person is wise in their latter end is the person that is saved. The person who knows God's way. We are surrounded and bombarded by the world's propaganda today. The truly wise is the person who knows the ways of God and follows God. The problem today is people are not listening to that wisdom. The problem today is so many people reject that wisdom. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2 says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. That's the world's desire. Oh, we need to discover ourselves. We need to find ourselves. Isn't that the world's motto today? Oh, let us find ourselves. But they're not discovering the wisdom and the ways of God. They're turning their back upon the wisdom and the ways of God. True biblical counsel will lead you to the Saviour. True biblical counsel will lead you into the ways of God. True biblical counsel will bring you into the ways of holiness. So there's a false wisdom in this world. There is the world's philosophy that seeks to dismiss sin and explain sin away. But the Word of God directs us away from sin and to the fountain that is filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, the only real solution to the problems and difficulties of this old world in which we live. Well, men and women, may we go there. May we go to the Saviour and find Him the blessing that we need. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just